I don't think so. I don't think that'll work in this country. I think he's in for 4 years minimum.
Wait our time.
My name's Mary Green.
Thank you very much.
Oh, nice
job.
To see you. Thank you.
We all know your stance on abortion. I would just like you to give me one statement backing up your stance on abortion.
Well, I think the Supreme Court decision is one that we ought to respect. It's the highest.
If you want to sign up for Americans for Common Sense, it's in the back. Back that way. There's tables back there.
Have to make the judgment during the first trimester of the pregnancy as to whether they're going to continue it or not. Beyond that, the states have the right under the Supreme Court decision to set certain restrictions, and this is what I support.
Okay, thank you.
What is Dublin? Are you? I'm an old friend of Weaver Humphrey.
Oh yeah.
Steve Daddy scared of Johnson. But do you think, that's what I was trying to ask, in other words, do you think we'll ever have anything like the Canadian New Democratic Party here?
I doubt it. I just don't think it's
we're too conservative.
I think we are. I think we're basically a two-party country with minor differences between the two parties, and Americans are uncomfortable with drastic differences between the two major political parties. That's been my experience.
What do you think of Mrs. Kirkpatrick?
Well, I'd say next to Watt, that's the worst appointment that Reagan made.
Her husband was my advisor for 30 years ago at Minnesota, and he was a socialist then.
Yeah, well, he's no socialist now.
But he's still twirling his Phi Beta Kappa key. I recognize Kirkpatrick and Hague's speech.
Mrs. Kirkpatrick's one of these chronic interventionists. She wants to shoot the hell out of everybody and go to war at the drop of a hat. I think it's the worst.
She said better Somoza than those lefties.
That's right.
I was wondering about, first of all, I wanted to sort of congratulate you on your role in that nutrition council.
Oh yeah.
Because that's something that's I'm very interested in. I was wondering, I'm real interested in where the nutrition council, and even in what you do, like what do you eat, and how do you see yourself in it?
Well, I'm not rigid on diet, although I think our recommendations were right, that dietary goals that our committee put out, and it called for Americans to make a reduction in the consumption of fat and sugar, salt.
Don't you think that has pretty far-reaching consequences?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Because it was sort of advocating a sort of a whole grain type of diet.
No, that wasn't it at all. It was not that at all. We just simply said that the average American has too heavy a consumption of fat and sugar and salt, and that they'd be better advised to increase the percentage of grains, vegetables, and fruits. But we didn't call for an end to consumption of meat.
Was there any reason that why you did that? In example, the Meat and Dairy Association, did they have an influence on your not being more strong on your stand?
No, the findings of our committee, with the best medical evidence we could get, is that there was no particular health advantage in the total elimination of meats and dairy products, that there was a reduction in risk if you reduced the consumption of those. But we couldn't find any substantial body of medical opinion that held that a total elimination of meat and dairy products and sugar was desirable.
Don't you think, though, that the AMA has a stake in not advocating something like that?
Oh, sure. And so do the food industries.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that our committee was dictated to by those groups. They condemned our report.
Right. But don't you think you should have gone outside of the standard medical knowledge?
Well, we did. We had in dietitians, and we had in scientists, we had in researchers of all kinds. We had in the representatives of the AMA who testified against our conclusions.
Right.
And it was the opinion that came from independent foundations and researchers who were operating on their own that provided the scientific underpinning for our report.
Did you have any consultation with Michio Kushner?
I don't recall that we did. I don't recall that name at all.
You're not familiar with
it? No.
How has this affected your own personal eating habits?
Well, I cut down, I was a kind of a chalkaholic, and I cut that down to reasonable proportions.
What's a chalkaholic?
Somebody that eats chocolate like other people drink booze. So I was, I try to watch the consumption of anything in excess. I think it's very easy to eat too much fat, too much sugar. Those are the two big killers. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, it's easy to fall into drinking too much alcohol, too much nicotine, too much salt, and things of that kind. But if within reason, I think that the average person can live a healthy life without being a diet freak.
What's your opinion on the appointment to the Department of Agriculture? And wasn't he the one who made the response that the government has no right to intervene with nutrition programs here in the country? And his response, I think, was something to the fact that my hogs know how to eat and so do the American people.
Yeah, it was a pretty superficial.
Yes, I was just wondering your response.
See, the answer to that is that hogs don't know what to eat. And we, up until recently, this government of ours, of which I was a part for many years, spent more money on research on hog diets than we did on human diets. The Department of Agriculture spent enormous sums of money researching what cattle and hogs and chickens and sheep should eat, so you'd get maximum strength and production out of it. But they were very stingy about any kind of research on what you should eat to be a healthy person. It's only under the prodding of our committee, if I can do a little boasting, that we got USDA to change their focus and to begin looking at human nutrition. But I saw that statement too, where he said that if a hog knows what to eat, a person, a hog doesn't. And he knows that as a farmer. He knows as a good farmer, and he is a good farmer, he knows that he very carefully balances the protein and the carbohydrates and the minerals. They watch those hogs very closely on what they eat.
Surprises me that they are so quick to give funds to build up military sources, where if the physical resources of their country are going to go down as a result of,
exactly,
you know,
you can't,
they're not
build,
gonna be able,
you
know,
can't,
the strength to go out there and,
exactly,
fight.
Exactly, that's the point I was trying to make. You can't build a strong military structure on a declining industrial base. And even from a defense standpoint, we ought to worry about putting too much into the military and too little into other aspects of national strength. You know who first said that loudly and eloquently? Was President Eisenhower. You go back and read his farewell address. It's one of the most important addresses ever delivered by an American president. He spoke in that address about the growing power of the military-industrial complex. And he said that precise phrase, that, you know, here's a five-star general who's given his life to the military defense of this country, saying if the military takes too much, it weakens the country by depriving us of other sources of national strength. And that's the dilemma I think we're moving into right now.
I just want to shake your hand and say it seems like whenever the Democratic Party is in trouble with reforms and the conventions, and you're always around to help, and I'm really glad
well,
that someone
thank you.
Out to get this moral majority, because I really think they're minority. And can I have your autograph?
Why don't you make
it time?
Can
I
reserve?
Write it. Here, honey. My board will be jealous if you write on mine.
I'd like to thank you for the part of your presentation tonight, which was more or less a sermon, and I think it was very much needed.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
And secondly, I'd like to know what other activities are the other senators like by and church engaged in? Are they also part of your organizational building camp?
Yeah, the some of the church groups.
Yeah,
I've been meeting with church leaders and rabbis and priests and preachers of all kinds, trying to get their insights as to what we can do to gather. Because this, you know, this moral majority group, they're more of a threat to the churches and the synagogues than they are to the politicians. And these other mainline religious leaders ought to get on their horses and start responding. You know, I think it's remarkable that the first really sharp rejoinder came from Billy Graham. I mean, who would have expected him to be the one that saves us from the moral majority? But I give him credit for doing it, because he can speak with greater force as to their deficiencies than you or I could.
Okay, now what are the other synodies buying church?
Well, they're doing various things. Culver's teaching at Harvard right now, and then practicing law part time. Birch Bayh is doing a lot of lecturing like I did tonight, and practicing law part time. I'm going to teach at Northwestern this spring, 2 days a week. I'm teaching a class in American foreign policy on Mondays and Tuesdays. I'll fly out there and spend a couple of days. I understand 1,000 students have signed up for the class.
Are they also trying to build up the membership for Americans for Common Sense?
Well, they're not. We don't have a board, but I meet with them all the time just to get their input. I've met with every senator who was defeated, every one of them, to get their ideas on what we ought to be doing. I talk to them on the phone all the time. And Culver's awfully good on speaking about the right-wing groups and the moral majority. I stole that line from him, don't confuse the new right with the New Testament. Thank you very much. Well, I think there now, it's such a tragic economic situation that probably continuing to supply food aid and medical care and technical help is the best thing we can do. I guess we're doing a substantial amount.
Right now, it looks like we're getting united with China, which is yeah. fighting more civil war. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Cambodia is just such a terrible tragedy that I think it's a byproduct of the Vietnam mess that we helped aggravate. You know, people come up to me and say, aren't you sorry now that we didn't complete the job in Vietnam? Well, the job we were completing was the destruction of the country. We were just bombing the daylights out of both Vietnam and Cambodia, and that helped sow the terror and the destruction that has opened up this problem that's going on there now. We just practically killed all the leadership in Cambodia and wiped out the whole social structure of the country, and that's where you get this terrible chaos that we have now. But in that kind of situation, I think we ought to do what we can on the food and medical and humanitarian front. Yeah. No.
Senator?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about this? I am a supporter of the Council for a Livable World.
Oh, good.
Since 1962.
Yeah, they've raised a lot of money for me. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And
Dr. Szilard is the leader of that. Thank you.
Senator? What do you think about the Citizens Party?
Is it Barry Commoners?
Right.
I think they're... I agree with most of the things they... have advocated. I think Barry Commoner is a great man. I don't know that a third party of that kind can go anywhere in the United States.
I see it as a response to the Democratic Party's inability
yeah.
to
yeah, and that's probably their role to nudge the... Usually what a third party does when they begin to gather strength, then one of the major parties will preempt enough of their program to take the steam out of them.
And,
but that's useful. I mean, that's a good thing. I think if a party like the Citizens Party began to attract large numbers of votes, the Democrats would move in and preempt their enough of their program on energy and environment. And,
so you see them as a positive force?
Yeah, I do. I do see them as a positive force.
That's good.
Mr. McGovern? Are you afraid that President Reagan hasn't learned anything from our recent past history?
I am afraid of that. I think that what he and Haig are thinking is that previous administrations were unable to score a decision in Vietnam, and that they're going to pick a case where they can do it. And so they probably can.